This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. George Ezra's voice sounds like a finely aged bourbon. You know, it sounds like it's been steeped for decades in a mix of oak and tobacco and soul, all of which is impossible since George is only 21. But the English singer and songwriter does sound like he has an old soul, possibly one that spent time tramping around the U.S. in the mid-20th century.
Oh, to you, ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change.
This song, Budapest, has been a hit around the globe for George Ezra, and the video has been viewed over 55 million times. Today, though, George is taking us to Barcelona. That's the name of the first song he's going to play live for us. It's on his debut LP called Wanted on Voyage. Here's George Ezra live on Soundcheck.
Native man sang in a foreign tongue. I still ache to know this song that he sang, Barcelona, Lord. Every time you have to go, I shut my eyes and you know I'll be lying right by you in Barcelona. Well, every time you have to go, I shut my eyes and you know I'll be lying right by your side in Barcelona, oh, Barcelona, oh, Barcelona, oh, oh, oh. Every time you have to go, I shut my mind and you. Oh, well, I'll be lying right by your side in Barcelona. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh.
That is George Ezra, the young English singer and songwriter and guitarist, live, solo, here in the Soundcheck studio with Barcelona, which is on his new album, his full-length LP, called Wanted on Voyage. He's with us here in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
How you doing?
Good. There are a couple of ways you can get that kind of roughened singing voice. One is to spend years abusing your voice with whiskey and cigarettes. And yeah. The other is, I don't know what the other is. I'm assuming that's the route you went, though.
Yeah, the other, I don't know what it is, because I don't think my voice is necessarily that deep or filling when I'm talking.
Yeah.
Especially my laugh. My laugh certainly isn't. It was a conscious decision to try and sing with a big voice, which initially was technically an awful voice. It was a shout kind of thing. I was in a band and I was trying things out. And I think that's the beauty of trying things out when you're a kid, when you're younger, because you have very little interest in what other people think. If it's fun and you're enjoying it, then you carry on doing it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. What singers, you know, what were you listening to as a kid or as a teenager that made you think, that's the sound, that's the stuff I want to be able to do?
Well, I was fortunate because when I was 13, 14, I fell in love with Bob Dylan. So that was the first music that was more than just music. Now, I was also lucky because at the same time, Bombay Bicycle Club, Arctic Monkeys, you know, Razorlight, Kings of Leon, all these indie bands were coming out, especially in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But then I, out of curiosity, so I found this guy, Bob Dylan, that I knew very little about. As far as I was aware, I didn't know if anyone else knew anything about him, you know. But I wanted to know what he had been listening to or who was around at a similar time, and that is a whole world of it.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, when you say you discovered Bob Dylan, which Bob Dylan? Was it like the 60s Dylan? Was it the modern times Dylan?
So on my dad's record collection, there was not much of the earlier Dylan. There was definitely Modern Times and Self-Portrait, I remember.
Yeah. So you discovered a very different Bob Dylan from the one that I discovered when I was a
teenager. No, but that was what Dad had. And I went out. I've always done this. So I buy CDs, and whoever I am introduced to, I buy their debut first. So I found this Bob Dylan character. And so I bought his debut record, and then Freewheeling, and then I went on. So I probably got to about 72 or something, and then was like, you know, you should probably listen to someone else as well. You know, there's probably more music out there.
And so did you go forward in time at that point, or did you go back even
beyond
Dylan? Yeah, I
did. There was a lot of, when I was 15 or 16, I started seeing a girl that was older and cooler than me. She introduced me to Johnny Flynn and people like that, and that started at that point. I was furious because I'd been saving for 2 years for a resonator guitar.
With the idea that you'd be the only one.
I thought I was going to be the kid with the blonde hair and the resonator guitar. And then she gave me this album and I loved it. And I went and put it on. And obviously, you know, I thought it was fantastic. And then I saw a photo of him and I was like, no, what? This is, yeah. So there was a lot of that going on. Yeah, all sorts.
And what about like pre-Dylan, you know, your Muddy Waters and people like that, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of the most exciting part of it, and maybe the thing that part of me, I only realized recently, but I think part of the reason I'm as interested in music as I am is the romantic image, and you might laugh at me saying that, of traveling on freight trains and things like that. There is a kind of, I imagine it wasn't very comfortable whatsoever.
Right.
But in my head, there was this whole image, especially growing up so far away from it, America in general, and these musicians. So there was Woody Guthrie and there was Leadbelly and people like this, that I was just, it fascinated me.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that a lot. More, I think, from people on the continent than from the British Isles, but that kind of fascination with America and the kind of romantic, especially of the open spaces of Middle America.
Yeah.
But there is an old Italian expression that translates into English as travel forms youth. Now, you're a young guy, and you've done a lot of traveling in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so in the last few years, it's been predominantly work. So, and I try not to talk about this too much with friends and stuff, because you don't actually see the places you're going to, really, which, you know, is neither here or there. It's not, you know, a bad thing. It's, we're doing an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people assume that we, have the life of Riley, you know, visiting all these places. But for the record, the first time I really went away was this trip around Europe, and I deliberately went by myself just to see if I could exist by myself for a month. And wrote down. I didn't write any songs while I was travelling around Europe. I kind of wrote verses and words. I kind of journaled what I was doing, and then when I got home, that's when we wrote the songs.
So you went to Barcelona.
I did go to Barcelona. Yeah.
You went to Budapest.
I didn't go to Budapest.
You did not go to Budapest.
No. I reckon I did about 9 cities in general. Give me one reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo, you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all, ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Budapest was the only city that I was meant to visit that I never made it to.
Yeah, well, that's the one that turned into the big global hit.
No, it's funny.
Number one in like a whole bunch of countries from Austria to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And sold like 500,000 copies here in the States too, which...
You know, these things, I'm very detached from figures and stuff. So when you said how many views the YouTube video had had, that I was like, well, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, now, the Barcelona video, which Soundcheck listeners can see on our website at soundcheck.org, I mean, that just went up. Where was that shot? That seems awfully tropical for Barcelona.
Yeah, there's a place in Cornwall. So I love Cornwall. And before, when I was just gigging around, my good friend and me, we would drive to Cornwall and do a week of touring in tiny little bars and stuff. And we did that twice, I think, separate occasions. Now, there's a place called the Eden Project, which is, I don't know how many separate space, they kind of look like huge fly eyes, like pods.
Mm.
And there's the tropical one, there's the Mediterranean one, you know, there's, so yeah, we shot in the I don't know what it's officially called, but it was the hot one, and they insisted that for the video I wear it anorak, like a raincoat. It got to 55 degrees. And that's
Celsius?
Degrees Celsius, yeah.
Holy cow, 55.
Because it has to be...
That's like 120 degrees.
Yeah.
More than 120
degrees.
Yeah, because
we were traveling up at one point, so we were keeping an eye on the floor, it was whatever, and then I'm hoisted up at one point.
Right,
so
right.
They were like, oh, you'll be near the top. And I was like, well, that's great, and all the view's going to be lovely, but it's going to be hot
if you live to see it.
Yeah.
You can see the results of that video, the Barcelona video. It's on our website at soundcheck.org. George Ezra is here with us in the Soundcheck studio. So do each of these songs have a place associated with them?
Yeah, the point of the album is that I don't want people to think if they were to buy the album, they're going to have a, you know, step-by-step guide of what I did around Europe. It's not like that.
Right.
And it's more associated in my mind of, so Casio, for instance, which is a song on the record I wrote, and it's, I wrote 3 or 4 verses, and it's all about time having won over on someone. And I try for heaven's sake. Well, I traveled to Australia and I traveled there by train. Something might sound strange to you, but on the way I gained today. And I wrote to tell my family, and I wrote to tell my friends. I arrived home, it was lost again, and this torture never ends. Casio, Casio, please don't leave. Casio,
did you write that on a Casio keyboard?
No, that was the thing. I wrote the verses. I didn't have a chorus for it. I didn't have chords or anything. I wrote these verses that I kept kind of running over in my head. And then when I realized, I thought, well, this is going to be very funny if I put it into the you know, concept of a relationship and her name be Casio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it made me laugh anyway.
What about Blame It On Me? This is the song of yours that I first heard and fell in love with that video, which is really
awesome.
Funny.
Yeah. In fact, we actually shot that in Barcelona. Here's where it gets
that
confusing.
One, okay.
Yeah, so we shot that video in Barcelona. Blame It On Me is one of the few songs that came not from the trip around Europe. So when I first moved, I moved to Bristol when I was 18. I studied for a year and then dropped out, but stayed in Bristol for 3 years. Yeah, that song's kind of saying, well, unless I do something, I've only got myself to blame.
Mm. Well, you did something. The results are on the album called Wanted on Voyage. You want to do the song for us?
I'll play Blame It on Me, yeah.
All right. George Ezra is here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Let's hear this song. It's called Blame It on Me. Once again, George Ezra, live on Soundcheck.
Garden was blessed by thoughts of me and you. We headed west for to find ourselves in truth. What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? We counted all our life reasons, excuses that we made. We found ourselves in treasure and threw it all away. What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? When I dance alone and the sun's bleeding down, blame it on me. When I lose control and the veil's over you, what you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? Caught in the tide of blossom, caught in the carnival. Your confidence forgotten, I see the gypsies roll on. What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? Dance alone and the sun's bleeding down, blame it on me. When I lose control and the veil's over you, blame it on me. What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? When I dance alone and the sun's bleeding down, blame it on me. When I lose control and the veil's overused, blame it on me. When I dance alone, I know I'll go.
George Ezra and Blame It On Me, song from his album called Wanted on Voyage, live solo performance here in the Soundcheck studio from George Ezra. So, George, is that kind of what the song sounded like back in the open mic days?
Yeah, potentially a little slower.
Uh-huh. It's a big production on the album.
Yeah, so the one thing, I always knew I wanted a band record. Mm-hmm. So there was a few things I did to try and fill stages while I was playing by myself. So I tuned the guitar down to open C, which kind of gives it more bass.
Right.
Which is I used to do. I saw some kids used to have wooden blocks with a pickup inside that they could stomp on and stuff, and I considered getting one of them, but then I realised, even after four songs, when all you've got is a guitar and that, that becomes quite repetitive. So then I started doing that kind of, that strum.
Yeah.
That's kind of percussive instead.
Well, and when you tune a guitar, which is normally an E,
yes,
down to C,
yeah,
you've got a lot of slack strings,
yeah,
and it gives it a kind of a dirty,
yeah,
muddy
it kind
sound.
Of, I don't know if I'd recommend it, to be honest. It's a bit, sometimes I regret writing the songs with the guitar, so, as low as it is.
Well, now, we mentioned the video before for Budapest, for Barcelona. There's another video online of your song Listen to the Man,
yeah,
which is you and Sir Ian McKellen.
Easy, and a one, two, three, you. Easy, breezy, if you come with me, you. Easy, easy, and a one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 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 nine.
Wait, hold up. Ian.
Yes?
What's going on?
McKellen.
I'm trying to shoot a video for my song.
Well, I'm just trying to sing the song. It's such a fantastic song. Well,
thank you very much.
I think I sing it rather well.
Well, debatable, but I keep trying to do my thing.
Yes.
And you're just there. Look.
Yes.
Someone,
thank you.
There was someone bringing you a gong on. Mm. He was taking it off. You got a drink.
Mm.
I don't even get that.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but I'm just so excited to be here. You know,
I understand that, but it's just a frustration.
Do you know, Jeff... George,
yeah,
you know, I love all your music,
from
Bucharest onwards.
Budapest.
Budapest, mm, yeah. If I can just be here, you know.
As long as,
I
have space
here
to breathe and do my thing.
Well, of course, yes.
Thank you very much.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Yes, so am I.
You don't have to be there, babe. You don't have to be scared.
He mistakes your name. He thinks the song is Bucharest instead of Budapest. But... it's Ian McKellen.
I know, yeah.
You're there with Ian. At some point, you just have to, like, did you have a moment where you had just say to yourself, hang on, this is Sir Ian McKellen lip-syncing to my song?
Do you know, my whole life I've had a complete detachment to any celebrity culture. Not for any negative reason. It's not that I see it and go, oh, it's just always kind of gone over my head. So I think that's served me really well, actually, with everything that's happened, because that's not changed, really. You know, I meet a lot of people, some of which are famous, some aren't, the majority of which are very nice,
mm-hmm,
you know. And the other thing is I'm caught up in this. So everything that's going on, I haven't really had the opportunity to sit back and take in. So even when I'm there with Ian McKellen and I see him and, you know, he's completely charming and very nice to me and everything, I've even watched Lord of the Rings since, but I kind of can't put two and two together. Like, I wasn't watching it going, oh, that bloke's in my video, you know. I was kind of, they're just two separate things.
So do you feel like you really haven't had a chance to kind of pull back and just kind of process everything that's happened in the last year or two?
Not really. I don't know if it's my complete inability to. Maybe I'll never be, you know, never will. I do my best, you know. I take my camera around, I try and take photos of everything, and I still journal when we're on the road, so mm-hmm, you know, I've got stuff to look back on, but I'm not in any rush. I imagine my record label's shaking their head behind me now.
Well, you know, there was relatively early in his career, David Bowie, on an American tour, wrote a bunch of songs for each of the cities, you know.
Mm.
So there's, you know, Panic in Detroit.
Okay,
and,
yeah, yeah.
So the whole Aladdin Sane album, each of those songs was inspired by a city. So I'm just wondering if we're going to see a Cleveland or a Denver
yeah,
down the road.
Maybe. See, America, for someone like myself that didn't grow up here, I'm going to sound ridiculous now. It's a very big place.
So oh, my God. No, that doesn't sound ridiculous
at
all.
So we've toured here three or four times now. And I remember even the first time I flew from New York to L.A., that flight's as long as it is from New York to London.
Right.
And that's just one way. So getting my head round America is becoming its own thing entirely. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, it's been great, you know, it's been great watching these videos and hearing the songs and watching your career kind of take shape. And I hope you do have a chance at some point to like draw breath and kind of figure out what
it
is. But for the meantime, the album's out. It's called Wanted on Voyage, and it has George Ezra touring once again through these United States and stopping by here in the Soundcheck studio. George, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
What you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? When I dance alone and the sun's beating down, blame it on me. When I lose control and the veil's overused, blame it on me.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schiffer.